Hello, everyone, and welcome to Heavy Pod as Heavy Cast, episode 220 something, six maybe. So Eden wasn't feeling well this week, so he bailed out the fucking count. No. So, you know, we were perhaps going to take a week off, but then I realized that there's an opportunity here for something that, you know, Eden would never partake in, but I know Ryan would, which is watching, Zack Snyder's Justice League, also known as affectionately among the fans, the Snyder Cut, and discuss it. So here we are. Hi, Ryan.
Hey, Noyan. How's it going?
That's how it's going. So,
I mean, go ahead. Sorry.
No, you go ahead.
I have never, I didn't watch the Justice League when it came out. It was always something I kept on saying, like, oh, I'll get to it. I didn't see it in theaters for some reason, even though I see, like, all the other ones, for just because it's something easy that I can interact with.
Yeah.
But, like, I just wasn't even interested in this one for some reason. And I saw people say, you know, it was good, it was bad. And I was like, I guess not. And then when it came on HBO Max, or was on HBO, I was like, I guess I'll watch it there. Never watched it. And then when they announced, they're like, oh, hey, we're just going to, you know, finish this thing up. I was like, okay, I'll watch it now.
So before we dive in, explain your feelings about this movie to me in a single sentence, and then we'll dive in deeper.
Complicated. And I really do think that's the best way I can describe it, because there's a lot of feelings about this to me.
Yeah. So,
and also, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to give like a kind of history lesson of how we led up to here.
Yep, go ahead.
All right. So, you know, the year is 2012. Marvel releases The Avengers. And it's kind of like a big hit, right? It's one of the most highest earning movies ever made. And it's also really well received. I mean, it really kind of proves the concept of the cinematic universe. You know, they've been kind of building up to it for a few movies now, but this really kind of just everything comes together here. And the year after that, Man of Steel comes out, you know, the big, highly awaited Zack Snyder Superman movie. And it's okay. Like, I don't like this movie too much. It's kind of divisive, and we'll get into why, broadly, Zack Snyder's take on Superman is divisive. But it's not terrible. It's just not that great, in my opinion. Then a bunch of studios go, hey, this like cinematic universe business is really successful. We want our own cinematic universe. And you have like the Dark Universe from Universal, which was like the Mummy movie, Dracula Untold. They were all kind of supposed to be part of a universe.
Johnny Depp as like the Invisible Man or something.
And Russell Crowe was like, what was he going to be? But yeah, exactly.
He's supposed to be Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right. Right. And that was like a just complete non-starter. There's like the monster universe with like Godzilla and King Kong. And they're still kind of trying to do that, but, you know, less of a universe, I guess. And there are countless other failed ones. But the thing with DC is that their properties are so big that no matter what they do, it's going to succeed. Like Batman and Superman, you can't go wrong, right? Like even if you have a dog shit cinematic universe, which they kind of do, if you throw Superman in a movie, people are just going to go see it, right? Like, that's just one of the biggest properties out there. So,
yeah.
Banking on that, DC basically, I don't know how much of this is Snyder versus, like, the studio, but instead of making Man of Steel 2, they make Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice in, what year was it? 2016, I believe. Yeah. And not only does this movie introduce Batman, it also introduces Wonder Woman. And teases Aquaman, Flash, and Cyborg at the end as well. And in fact, it has the dream sequence with the Flash in it. So, like...
Which is referenced in this one.
Yeah. And, like, it's, like, the completely kind of misreading the... Like, all these studios kind of misread the Marvel strategy. What Marvel did was they kind of, you know, slowly started this thing up from the ground and one by one made good, solid movies, and then they brought them together. Whereas with, like, DC, they were like, oh, fuck, we need our cinematic universe. Let's just dump everything into this movie and then just, like, kickstarted, like, you know, jump-started, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And that just doesn't work that way, right? You have to kind of build the confidence. Otherwise, you have these, like, extremely bloated 4-hour-long movies that act as, like, backdoor origin stories to, like, a bunch of random characters that the audience doesn't care about. And the reason the audience cared about the Avengers was because you've already had, like, a movie or two with each of these characters, and you've already kind of gotten to know them, gotten attached to them, and now you want to see them kind of come together. And that just doesn't work the same way here. But, I mean, the appeal of the cinematic universe is clear in that, like, you just stated it yourself, right? Like, if there's two movies in the theaters, one of them is random generic action movie, and the other one is, like, a Marvel movie that is, like, maybe not the best movie, but, you know, it's part of the Marvel thing. You're probably more likely to see the Marvel movie. It kind of amortizes the cost of failure across multiple movies.
Yeah. And like, there just was nothing, there is truly nothing that was drawing me to see Justice League. And I had seen Batman v Superman in the theater. I saw it with my best friend, or one of my best friends, and I, like, didn't hate it. I also didn't, like, love it. Like, once again, complicated bits and pieces. But, like, I just had no desire to even follow up on it, which I think says a lot about, like, whatever the reputation was leading up to this actually getting released.
Yeah, so that's the thing. Like, the movie Batman v Superman was already, like, a pretty long movie.
Yes.
And it was, like, pretty bloated. How long? Let me see the runtime. It was, like, the theatrical cut was 2.5 hours. And then Snyder released the director's cut that added, like, 40 more minutes to it. It's like, nobody wanted more of that movie. Like, people wanted less of it in terms of, like, because the movie is just, like, dour. And this is kind of a theme throughout Zack Snyder's career, right? Like, he's always made movies that are, like, grim and dour and, like, brown and gray. And
yeah,
for 300, it worked because it was, like, a shot-for-shot adaptation of a comic book. For Watchmen, stylistically, it kind of worked because Watchmen is grimdark. But when you do that to, like, the DC movies, it's like, that's not kind of the point of Superman. And you see kind of the tonal differences between, like, Marvel and DC, where, like, Marvel movies are always kind of more or less pretty lighthearted, and they get some flack for it, but ultimately it kind of works. And with DC, Snyder saw, like, and, you know, Man of Steel was kind of conceived before, you know, the massive success of the Avengers, and it was kind of more based on, you know, Nolan's Batman trilogy of, like, you know, what if this was kind of more realistic and more grounded and kind of grimdark? And Snyder was like, dial it up to the max. And also, the thing is, Snyder clearly fucking hates Superman. Like, Superman.
Oh my god, yeah, he's, like, in none of this movie.
No, but, like, even when he is there, like, the whole kind of drawing point of Superman is that he is kind of a symbol of hope. He is infallible in his personal and, like, superpower sense. And the challenge with Superman is, you know, how does that reflect on everybody else? And, like, how do you make an infallible character still kind of face some challenges? And, for example, the TV show, the recent one, Superman and Lois, actually does a pretty good job of it in that, like, yeah, now he's a father, he has kids, he has a life, right? Like, how does he balance that? That's an interesting take on it, right?
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
The Snyder's take of, what if Superman was bad, though, is, like, not only is this, like, a, you know, played out take already throughout many years of media, but also, like, it is not the first thing you go to, right? Like, first thing is you establish him as a symbol of hope, and then you're like, okay, but, like, what if that goes wrong? But Snyder doesn't do that. He just, like, fuck Superman. And that, I think, also kind of, you know, shows in the tone of the movies. Anyway, so
yeah,
sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say that like, so when he is in this, I mean, when he's in this movie, he largely, like, does not know who he is. He's just kind of, like, wandering about. When he's first introduced, he's violent.
Yep.
There's just, I mean, you get him later as, like, a better Superman, but of course there's, like, premonitions of something worse, but...
And, like...
Jeez, man, like...
He has maybe, like, 5 minutes of screen time and, like, maybe 5-10 lines of dialogue.
Yeah. And, like, the build-up, I feel like Man of Steel and Batman v Superman did like a better job of building him up a little bit. Like, I think Man of Steel did a better job of building him up than Batman v Superman did.
Yeah.
But this just doesn't like take his character anywhere. And I get it because it's Justice League, but like, damn.
Yeah.
The plot revolves around him and at the same time, like, has nothing to do with him.
Yep.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, you're right, you're right. But let's get into that a little bit more. I'm just kind of still trying to set up the historical context of how we got here.
Gotcha.
Like, Batman v Superman was, you know, was released, and it's not that, like, it made a lot of money, but I think it's generally not, like, super well-regarded. I would say that it's kind of divisive. And then, you know, the Snyder released, like, a 40-minute extended cut. And, you know, first of all, if you look at Snyder's career, generally, he has a lot of kind of director's cuts, which kind of always hints of, like, you know, him maybe not playing well with the kind of expectations set by the studios. And that's not to say, you know, negatively about Snyder, right? Like, studio expectations can go both good and wrong. Like, there are instances of where the studio, like, stepped in and made things better, but there's also many instances where they made things worse. But either way,
oh, yeah,
it kind of shows a tendency for Snyder to, and Watchmen had an extended cut as well, that he can't really kind of fit his stories into the expected length or, you know, a theatrical release. So,
yeah, it takes a lot to cut it down to that.
Yeah, exactly. Plus, like, it doesn't help when the movie's like has additional bloat from all this other stuff around it. So, you know, Batman v Superman was okay. It still made a lot of money. So,
the,
you know,
I think it's like the second highest grossing one of these, or the highest grossing, isn't it? Or is Justice
League
the highest grossing?
Yeah, it is. So,
holy shit.
Yeah. So then they kind of proceed with making the Justice League. And throughout the filming of the Justice League, and by the way, in between the Justice League and BVS, we got Wonder Woman. I think that one came out in like shortly before Justice League, or like around Justice League.
It did come out before.
Okay. And then we got the Justice League. And the Justice League, so during the shooting of it, you know, at some point, Snyder exited the production. Some, you know, there were some rumors around whether he was being pushed out. But then, you know, it became known that his daughter committed suicide. And, you know, he took some time off to, you know, it's a devastating life event, right? And then they bring in Joss Whedon. Joss Whedon, who obviously drove the Avengers franchise to success, but also drove a lot of women into really bad places. Fuck Joss Whedon.
Yes. Lots.
At the time, this wasn't like super well proliferated information. So they brought him in. And the thing that Joss Whedon is, he just writes the exact same way every time. And
yes,
he was every single time. He was brought in to kind of like retool the movie. And there were a lot of like extensive reshoots. Some of the most notorious bits with the Justice League reshoots were when Henry Cavill was brought in. He was filming Mission Impossible at the time, so he had this like sick stash that he was contractually obligated to not shave off. But obviously, Superman doesn't have a stash in Justice League, and so they shot anyway. And then like they CGI'd away his stash, and it just looked so bad. Like even with you know, it was 2017. So we didn't really have deepfakes available yet. But even then, like, I mean, we had deepfakes, but it was still kind of in the early phases. But even without deepfakes, like just like regular old CGI, it just looked terrible. It looked super bad. And the movie was just
I definitely remembered Mustache Gate.
Oh, yeah.
I do.
And the movie was like pretty poorly received. I mean, obviously amongst fans, it was still, you know, fans will just lap it up. But it was just really bad. It was fucking terrible. It basically killed the DC cinematic universe. Like, all the actors kind of exited it, and all the movie plans were kind of derailed. And it was just like the tone was all over the place, and it's just like it was just terrible. The humor was really bad.
Yes,
the Flash was even more of a pervert in this one. Like they even had this fucking anime scene where like he falls on Wonder Woman's breasts, and like it's just, like you know how they do that in like every shitty anime. And, like, they do that here as well. Like, there's just so many Whedonisms in this movie, and it's just like, it looked bad to you visually, and it was just like a disaster. And then, you know, we had like the Suicide Squad movie, which was just fucking trash.
I saw that in theaters.
Oh God.
And it was bad.
It was so bad, dude.
But I will say, I will admit, like, off top, I think I actually did, like, slightly defend Jared Leto's Joker, like, a little bit, because I had never seen, like, a take on, like, just, like, straight, like almost, like, mobster Joker. I had not really seen that. And I was like, okay, that's fine.
I think there's a version of that idea where it works, but this was not that version.
But he didn't do it. And he definitely didn't do it in this movie. He definitely did not do it in this movie.
Oh, my fucking God. And then the DC Universe just imploded. But funnily, afterwards, they kind of, you know, retooled their direction. And we got, like, Shazam, which was directed by David Sandberg, who is a YouTube horror short maker. And then his movie Lights Out, like, his short Lights Out got picked up and turned into a full movie. And he did Annabelle Creation, and then he did Shazam. He has a really cool YouTube channel where he talks about filmmaking, and he's a really great guy. And I'm so happy that, you know, Shazam is doing well and it was okay.
Shazam was good.
I think Wonder Woman was bad. I think everything else around it being so terrible made Wonder Woman look better than it is. But I think it's like worse than Thor: Dark World, but like around the same level.
I saw that one, I think, in IMAX. And I remember, like, just being like, oh, it's like a fish out of water movie. And then, like, the big, like, CGI, like, yeah, Goliath came, and I was like, okay.
It's literally just like the first two Thor movies, but just done way worse.
Yes.
After Suicide Squad, we got Aquaman. Aquaman was actually quite good. It's basically a Marvel movie, which is why it works. And, like, Jason Momoa is just so charismatic. That movie's also bloated as heck, but it just, like, is so enjoyable. It's just dumb fun. It works.
Yeah, James Wan does a great job with
James
Wan,
everything he touches turns to gold. And then we got Harley Quinn movie. It was okay. I enjoyed it. Like, you know, it was kind of flawed, but the, you know, Margot Robbie just carries that movie, and I enjoyed the kind of tone of the movie, even though the execution was not that great. Then Wonder Woman 84 was just fucking terrible. Like, it was just really, really bad. Anyway, so
yeah, Wonder Woman 84 is a lot to take in, like, much like this is, but in a different way.
Yeah. So
the wishing dildo, as it were,
because of the controversy around the original Justice League. And by the way, I'm going to call the, you know, Joss Whedon theatrical release the original. Maybe original is not the, you know, right word, but, you know, it's just easier to say. The original Justice League, with it being so bad, and then, you know, Joss Whedon's career imploding, there was a lot of buzz around release the Snyder Cut, bro. And that was kind of like a meme, essentially. Assuming that there was this Snyder version of the movie that existed that was going to be superior, and it needs to be released. And there was a lot of kind of like toxic social media garbage around this, you know, like harassment campaigns and just like fanboy wars, because basically, like, the DC universe failed, right? And DC versus Marvel is a pretty big, like, fandom war. And every time that there's like a new DC movie, it basically was like, okay, this is when the DC universe is gonna, you know, like, kick into full gear. And it never happened. And with, like, the Snyder Cut, the mythical Snyder Cut, being withheld from fans, that became, like, an even more divisive and, like, toxic point of conversation. And, you know, Snyder kind of played into that as well, right? And he was able to essentially leverage this toxic social media harassment campaign to get the movie made, essentially, as part of HBO Max kicking off and, you know, them needing some sort of buzz to drive people towards it. Snyder got a $30 million budget to reshoot / complete the movie, because, like, the movie was not complete. The Snyder Cut wasn't a thing that existed, right? Like, it was just footage, but that needed to be turned into a movie. It was incomplete CGI and incomplete scenes. So he got $30 million to do that. But then the budget blew up, and he ended up spending $70 million to basically cobble together what we now have as Zack Snyder's Justice League and release it on HBO Max exclusively. So that's where we are. So now let's talk about the movie. Anything else you want to say about the history?
I'm sorry for interrupting during the wind up so much.
It was a long wind up, just like the movie.
Yeah, like you got to have the 2 hours building it up, and then the next, no, sorry, the 3 hours building it up, and then the last hour is the movie. Or sorry, like this movie, it starts at 2:25 basically. When they exhume Superman, that's when this fucking movie starts.
Okay, so let's talk about the movie. So let's talk about the characteristics of the movie, right? It's in 4:3 aspect ratio, which I think it actually works.
I think it does too.
I think it enhances the movie for sure. I think, you know, it was a pretty divisive decision amongst air quote normies, and I understand that, right? The way the 4:3 is rendered on a widescreen is suboptimal. But I think the shot composition and whatnot is clearly designed with this in mind. I mean, it was technically shot for IMAX, and it does give the movie a bit of an elevated feel, I think.
It does. Like, in the opening, whenever you're seeing the women in Iceland, and it shows the back of her head, like, against, like, that water, or like him just having swam off. Mm-hmm. Almost said swum. Jesus. It's like that looked really really nice. Good shot.
And that's Snyder's things, right? Like, he always makes things look amazing. Like, a Snyder movie will always have good shot composition, kind of good eye for visual flair. And I think he makes it work here. Additionally, the movie is a bit over 4 hours long. So
4 hours and 2 minutes.
Yes. And the color grading is like very aggressive. If you've seen BVS and Man of Steel, I would say that it's more aggressive than that. And there is also a really aggressive film grain filter applied to it as well. And these are, you know, these are tricks, I would say, but I think they work here. Like, there's aspects of this movie that works well. And I think, you know, visually, most of it works well. What doesn't work well, in my opinion, visually, is a lot of the CGI is really bad. Like, especially with the Amazons, that scene. By the way, we're going to, like, talk about the whole movie. Spoilers, whatever. First mother box scene or whatever. The CGI there, I think, is really bad. It looks like a fucking Oblivion. But, like, you know, when I don't know if you've played Oblivion, but objects that are far away in Oblivion are, like, you know, really kind of low res, and the ground texture is, like, really plain. And it looks like that. And the backgrounds are, like, completely clashing with the characters in a lot of the scenes. That being said.
Yes.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm agreeing with you. Like, and like, there, when they first show the cube and they show it from, like, top down and they kind of move around it. Like, so disturbing, some of those images, the way some of it looks.
Yeah, and, like, Steppenwolf looks great. Like, his new design is significantly better than the original. And his, like, he has good presence in the world. But I think that's because he's not human. So, like, his movements don't need to look realistic. And also his armor just looks so surreal. That, like, it doesn't have a problem blending into the environment. But whenever you have CGI human characters, their movements are, like, just really poor. I think the animation is, like, clearly they needed more time / money to kind of get them to a place where that would work. But yes. I think when you don't have humans on screen, I think the CGI is good. But, like, whenever you have humans doing stuff, it kind of looks poor.
Yeah, and I think also just, like, the way, like, the motion of how any of these guys are moving. Like, whenever Wonder Woman is, like, blocking the bullets with her...
that looks terrible.
Her like, what are they, like, wristlets? I don't remember what they're called. Or, like, her gauntlets, sorry. And she just, like, the movement is so fast, but it looks like it just looks like a video game CGI scene.
Yeah, she doesn't have, like...
It's so fucked up at times.
She doesn't build momentum in a way that looks convincing.
It's just fast, like 0 to 100 immediately.
Yeah. And, like, unlike The Flash, where, A, The Flash can do that, and B, like, he has a lot of effects around him when he does that. there's nothing around Wonder Woman to kind of mask that, so it just looks bad. And I think the, you know, a lot of the times I feel like they were able to kind of make the effects work by A, aggressive film grain, B, like a lot of high intensity lights, like basically kind of blowing out the camera, and just motion blur, and also kind of defocusing away.
So much motion blur.
Also defocusing away from things in a stylistic way to kind of hide the bad CGI. But like whenever you have like a marquee character like Wonder Woman just doing her thing in the center of the screen, it just doesn't look good.
So, and I think given the, like, if this had actually been presented the way it was supposed to be, like, and he had been given proper amounts of time and money, like, to begin with, mm-hmm. I think that this would have been a decently different story as far as the visuals go.
I think so. Like, I think that's just a matter of, like, budget and time, which goes to show.
Yeah.
The Snyder Cut was not a thing that existed, right? They created it over the past year or so.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It was in like lots of pieces, and they just had to bring them together and add a lot more shit to glue it all together.
And the thing is, overall, the broad strokes of the story are not that different. Like, you know, in the original, I know you haven't seen it, but basically, you know, Steppenwolf shows up, takes the box from the Amazons, takes the box from the Aquaman people, and then, like, Cyborg has the last box, and he's hiding it, and then Steppenwolf, they use it to resurrect Superman, Steppenwolf takes it, they go to this, like, Eastern European town, beat Steppenwolf, and that's it. But I think the execution of this... What?
The Eastern European town, like, that just has to be at the end of the superhero movies.
Oh, yeah. And
the isolated Eastern European town, or the very not isolated Eastern European town.
And actually, that is the difference between the Whedon version and the Snyder version. In the Whedon version, the town is not isolated. It's populated, and they evacuate the town. And there are specifically focuses for some reason on this one random Eastern European family and like how they're trying to escape. And, you know, Flash helps them out. Superman helps them out. And it's just like a bunch of filler that like doesn't really do anything other than like I guess he tried to give us like a boots on the ground kind of vibe for it, but like it just like
that's
doesn't work.
Yeah, that sounds that's very different from what happens here.
Yeah, and like also in the Whedon version, you know, in the Snyder version, they kind of blow up the dome and then just walk in, right? And it's just like nighttime. In the Whedon version, they just go into the dome. And the whole, that entire sequence is like, has a really aggressive red color grade on top of it because they're inside the red dome throughout.
Ah.
Anyway, so I think the, structurally, the broad beats are the same, but there are a bunch of significant differences between the Whedon version and the Snyder version. The most obvious one is that Cyborg is almost entirely absent from the Whedon version. Alongside any other person of color that's in the movie, which is kind of odd. But like, you know, in the Snyder version, Cyborg is basically kind of the emotional core of the movie. He is kind of the character that gets the most character development, right? It's almost like you can kind of split this movie into a couple of movies, first of all. But if you did, one of them would be like a Cyborg movie, right? Like he is kind of the central point of the plot in many ways. And he's almost entirely absent from the Whedon version. Like he's both basically like kind of silent and like brooding in the shadows for the most part. And the box that he has, he just is kind of like carrying it around and hiding it. And then it kind of gets found. And that's basically it. Like, none of the character development of Cyborg exists in the Whedon version. His dad doesn't even die in the Whedon version.
Holy shit.
Yeah. And here, you know, in the Snyder version, the dad sacrifices himself to tag the box so that the Justice League can find it. So there's like a pretty strong kind of emotional through line for the character. Whereas in the Whedon version, it's just not there.
like, there's so much of Cyborg, like, not feeling very jaded about the world. And then, like, he slowly comes to the team and gets better. And then he eventually sees that, like, you know, you can sacrifice yourself for, like, the greater good or whatever. And then he probably feels better about being a hero at that point.
Yep.
But, like, if you don't get that in the Whedon version, that's crazy. Because you're right, that's a very strong... He is the emotional core of this movie.
Yep. So...
Whenever, sorry.
No, no, go ahead. I was just going to move on, yeah.
I was going to say, I watched this movie with my partner, mm-hmm. Alexis, and her mom, and, like, she was like, yeah, the only character, like, I really liked was, him.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much it. Like, cause, and also, some things that Ezra Miller did, because she followed him on Tumblr, I guess, back in the day.
Well, maybe she needs to know that Ezra Miller, like, choked out a woman in real life, but hey.
Oh, holy shit, really?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry, did not know that.
Yeah, no worries. Yeah, I mean, you know, Ben Affleck also had some weird shit. Gal Gadot has the, you know, Israel stuff. A lot of this movie is kind of surrounded by people who are just kind of not great. But anyway. Oh, Amber Heard. So, I'll get to that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God.
Amber Heard is not in Joss Whedon version, by the way. Which is
really?
Yeah. So let me walk through kind of how the beats in the Whedon version plays out, and then we can kind of talk about
it. Okay.
Additionally, I think the color of the Whedon version is a lot different. It's color graded like a Marvel movie, like an Avengers movie, right? It's much more colorful. It just doesn't work. It looks so bad. Like, it looks... Because the shots are still... A lot of it is kind of original Snyder's material. And even though the movie was extensively reshot... like, it's kind of has to ground it back to how Snyder shot it in some ways. So it just looks terrible. And by the way, by my estimation, like, you know, super roughly, about 1 hour of the footage from Whedon's version is present in the Snyder version. Like, the rest of it is just, like, stuff that probably 2.5 hours of it is stuff that Snyder, you know, shot but was not used. And half an hour of it is just new footage, which is crazy.
That's so wild.
Yeah. So in the Whedon version, we open with, I mean, I'm not going to remember every single detail because it was just a dog shit movie, but...
That's fine.
It's the first segment is the kind of Amazon segment. Instead of the Amazons, like in the Snyder version, you know, they sacrifice their temple to kind of lock in Steppenwolf, but he kind of, you know, escapes anyway. Here... They, you know, they run outside of the temple with the box. Steppenwolf just kind of breaks through the temple wall and follows them around and then just takes the box and teleports away. There's not like a brutal battle scene there or like the, you know, collapse of the temple or whatever. It's just like kind of, yeah, he just shows up and he takes the box and then runs away. Which is
very
like,
in and out.
Yeah, very in and out and like doesn't really establish the character, doesn't really establish any stakes. It's just kind of... It's just like, whatever, like, this scene could have been way shorter. Like, in the Snyder version, it's a lot longer, but at least it being longer kind of makes sense, because it's kind of given more room. And then, I don't remember the exact order, but we have a scene, and this is a whole original Whedon scene, where Batman is, like, fighting a parademon in Gotham City rooftops. And, like, he has this corny-ass conversation with Commissioner Gordon about they're coming or something. It's just, like, a really bad scene. It's one of the, like, worst scenes in the movie. And that scene is, like, entirely absent from the Snyder cut. Then we have Batman goes to Iceland. And in this Whedon version, it's not clear why Batman, you know, travels on foot. Whereas in the Snyder version, they explain why. And then, like,
yeah,
there's some stuff about, like, him finding, like, some parademon goop somewhere. And, like, has this conversation with Aquaman. And then Aquaman just, like, hops into the water and just, like, torpedoes away. Like, you see him, like, whoosh away and just, like, so corny. Whereas in this version, there's this, like, long-ass scene with him, like, slowly walking into the water and, like, disappearing. And then the people in Iceland kind of revere him and, like, you do chant after him or some whatever, right? Like, that is a lot more...
Yeah.
It gives Aquaman a lot more kind of depth in terms of his representation in the world. And also, like, Bruce Wayne being there kind of makes more sense. And then in the Whedon version, the scene with Aquaman having this conversation with Willem Dafoe and Amber Heard is entirely absent. Like, that is not in the movie. which, again, kind of sets up Aquaman, right? Like, your mother's trident, you need to pick it up. It both sets up the movie Aquaman and also kind of sets up stakes for Aquaman character in Justice League. That's not there. And then, you know, in the Snyder version, Steppenwolf kind of captures some Atlanteans and, like, interrogates them. That's not there in the Whedon version. And then in the Snyder version, you know, Steppenwolf eventually goes to Atlantis to kind of pick up the cube and first fights Amber Heard, and then, like, Aquaman comes in. In the Whedon version, if I remember correctly, he just fights Aquaman. And then he just
pieces
out. Yeah. And the Wonder Woman scene is more or less there, except, like, you don't see her just, like, blow up the building. By the way, that scene is so fucking stupid in the Snyder cut. Because, like, she sneakily infiltrates this bank, and there are terrorists who are trying to blow up the bank. She stealthily takes down a dozen terrorists, and then stops the bomb, and then blows up the bank herself to stop the last terrorist. Like, what the fuck? To stop that guy, like, normally as well. Right? That was like a...
It's... You know, it was all like that. That's where Christopher Nolan got his like his little in on it, was seeing that bank scene and being like, "Yeah, this looks okay." and on top of that, so much of that I think was solely for the shot of the of her throwing the bomb in the air and like that, like how cool that looked or whatever. So I like it just at the end. It doesn't matter. It is solely for that visual effect to hit, and then it's like, oh, okay, well, as long as the kids are safe and the little girl gets to say, you know, can I be like you when I grow up?
Anybody can be like you, whatever. And okay,
which is still like good representation. I am glad that like women have representation in movies. That seemed like a very weird choice. I mean, very Snyder, but like very weird in the context of what had just happened to them.
Yeah, it is like. And that's kind of Snyder, right? In that, like, he is so tone-deaf, and his understanding of theming is just, like, hitting you over the head with something. And, like, all the Jesus imagery and whatnot.
Yeah.
And by the way, he's also, like, a huge Ayn Rand fan and an objectivist. There are so many Ayn Rand references in this Snyder cut. Like, the boat in Iceland that he saves the guy from, the name from it is from Fountainhead. And, like, there's just, like, a bunch of Ayn Rand references in this movie.
Jeez.
He had to delay the production of his Ayn Rand adaptation to do the Snyder Cut. But he's going to get to it. Yeah. This is not a joke. He's working on an Ayn Rand adaptation.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. Holy shit.
Yeah. He's a huge, huge Ayn Rand fanboy. Which also shows throughout the theory in his movies. Speaking of Wonder Woman's fight scene, I don't know if you watched the movie with subtitles, but...
Yes, I did.
Every time Wonder Woman is in a fight... It plays her fucking theme song really aggressively. Ah, la, la, that, like, fucking chanting thing. Every single time that same fucking chant plays, it's so, like, over the top. And, like, it's, again, Zack Snyder's kind of understanding of theming, right? Every time this character does something, we have to aggressively blast her theme song. And the subtitles each time says Ancient Lamentation music plays. And it's just, like, so fucking, like, stop. We get it. Like, you don't have to. Like, in Avengers movies, that happens too. But, like, what they do is they weave the character's theme song into the kind of theme of the movie itself. But here, no. They just, like, play the same fucking song every single time. And it's just, like, so, so bizarre. Like, that is the very Snyder thing.
It is, like, the amount of times you see, like, Ancient Lamentations playing. Like, how do you determine that? What is going on?
Yeah, it is so bizarre.
It reminds me of, like, the subtitle for, like, you know, probably, like, for the return of Twin Peaks. Like, ethereal whooshing. Just something along those lines, but less elevated.
Yep. So a few more differences between the two versions. In the Snyder Cut, Wonder Woman goes down to some Atlantean catacomb to learn about the Mother Boxes. In the Whedon version, it's actually, and when Batman and Aquaman are in the pub in Iceland, there's a drawing on the wall, and Batman's like, what's that? And then somebody, like, explains some shit to him. And it's just, like, really weird there, like, why? I think neither version is well done, but I guess, like, the Whedon version is more bizarre. And then you have all the, you know, all the cyborg stuff that is, again, entirely absent from the Whedon version. A bunch of character development. The scene with Lois Lane and Martian Manhunter is absent from the Whedon version. But that's also like a really bizarre scene. Like you have this emotional scene between Lois Lane and Martha Kent. And that's a good scene, right? This kind of like telling Lois Lane to move on and all that stuff. And then Martha Kent walks out and it's like turns into the Martian Manhunter. And it's just like, why? Like what purpose did that character being Martian Manhunter instead of Martha Kent serve? You turned a scene that was like a genuine emotional scene into like a, ooh, Martian Manhunter. Kind of, like, why?
Yeah, like that honestly, when I saw that, I was like, oh, wow, it's Martian Manhunter. And then I was like, that really just undercut anything they were trying to do emotionally there. Like, yep. My mother-in-law was just like, are they trying to get me to feel something here? Because, like, I just don't.
Yeah. It was just like,
it was very tough for her to, like, connect emotionally to Lois.
Yeah, Snyder trying to do emotions usually doesn't work well. Then we have the scene with, you know, Flash kind of saving what I assume is Iris West from a car accident. That's not in the Whedon version. But even when the Snyder version does it, like, Flash creepily staring at Iris while, like, she is just, like, being blasted in this car accident, it's just really weird.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say I like the way it was stylized, and I did laugh. I hate to say I did laugh when he put the hot dog in his pocket.
Yeah, that's funny.
I did expect it to happen, but it was funny. But, like, you're right. It was, like, a very out-of-place thing.
Yep. And then in the Whedon version, Batman just goes to, you know, Flash's cave and recruits him similarly here. But again, there's no kind of establishing for the Flash in the Whedon version. He just kind of was there. But like the dialogue between Flash and Aquaman and Wonder Woman is a lot worse in the Whedon version. Like Aquaman like says, oh, you're so gorgeous to Wonder Woman. And like Flash kind of falls on her chest, like I said. Like it's just like a lot creepier in the Whedon version.
Mm-hmm.
And in general, I think Aquaman is just like weirder in the Whedon version, like kind of more of a creep, I guess. And I think, you know, the Snyder version does much more justice.
Aquaman feels like a much more round character in this movie.
Yep. And we have all the kind of scenes with Cyborg, and like that's where the movie just kind of like drops everything else, and we get like an hour long movie about Cyborg.
Yeah, pretty much.
And there's a bunch of scenes, you know, like Steppenwolf tries to get the box, fails, there's a fight scene, blah, blah, blah. That doesn't really happen in the Whedon version. And ultimately, basically, they come to realize, after a lot of character development for Cyborg, that, you know, he has the last mother box that Steppenwolf doesn't have. Oh, by the way, I forgot to mention, in the Whedon version, there's no Darkseid or no Desaad. Steppenwolf is the big bad. They have a brief version of the historical battle scene, but instead of Darkseid, they fight Steppenwolf there. And, like, Steppenwolf is the ultimate bad guy of the Whedon version, which just doesn't work. And he also gets no character development.
I remember around the time of the movie, I think, like, Zack Snyder had, like, liked a tweet because someone had said, like, Steppenwolf was a bad villain.
Yeah, it was. He's so bad in the original. He's okay in the Snyder version. He gets more development. And I think that's kind of...
And then he gets his head crushed.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I think that's kind of the overall kind of theme of the comparison of the movies, though, and that like the Whedon version is so aggressively terrible that it makes the Snyder version look good by comparison. But I think the Snyder version is still not that great. Like, it's super well shot, but like, why is this movie 4 hours long? There's so much slow motion in this movie that, like, I feel like if you tone down the slow motion, you save like half an hour worth of movie. And there's a bunch of irrelevant scenes here that, like, sure, they give the characters more depth, but like, you could have just, like, had these characters have their own movies before this, and then that this movie would, like, work so much better. And the dialogue between the characters, while it's not as, like, sexually perverted as the Whedon version, or, like, doesn't have as much corny, unnecessary humor, there's still, like, so many, like, every single line in this movie is a one-liner. Like, nobody talks like this, which makes the characters, like, super unrelatable. And it's just, like... I just wrote down these two things. One of them is Batman saying when they go to the final battle area, he's dropping off the other Justice League members and says, whatever you see, stick to the plan. That's why I brought you together. What the fuck does that mean? What the fuck?
Yeah, like, there's so many times in this movie where Batman, like, just comes off as, like, the coldest douche possible, which I guess is, like, is who Batman is. But...
but, like, not in a cool way. It, like, just comes off in, like, a weird...
No.
Or not even in a way where, like, you get the sense that Batman is this, like, weird dude that is, like, you know, he's, like, a broken man or... you don't get anywhere. He just comes off as, like, a poorly written character.
Yeah, like, when he says... I honestly was, like, when he said, that's why I brought you all together, I'd be like, do I have no free will? Like, am I just your puppet, Batman?
I mean...
like, that's how I would feel if I was one of the members of the team. Like, I get there is a larger thing at stake, but to hear him say that, I'd be like, damn, dude, you don't value me as a team member?
So that,
I'm just, like, your guy?
That's actually a thing with the Justice League and the Batman and, like, you know, the more, you know, in the comics and whatnot. But mm-hmm. that's not a thing that's conveyed here in this movie. Like, you could have, you know, if you had more time to develop the plot of this movie itself instead of, like, developing, like, three other movies at the same time, you could have had this mm-hmm. thing where... you know, it comes off as Batman being manipulative and calculating and, like, you know, him just being, like, treating these people as pawns. And that would have been a cool angle, but there isn't enough room in this movie to actually flesh that out. So it just comes off as just, like, corny writing, I think. And
even... yeah. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
The Whedon version actually gives Batman a little bit more to do, but he comes off as kind of a more... I don't know. Like, he has more awkward humor, and he has more kind of... I don't know. It's just... he has more presence in the Whedon version, but it's bad. Here, he is, like, barely in the movie, honestly. And every time he speaks, he just, like, says something stupid.
I think, like, the best part is there's a decent amount of footage with him not in the costume.
Yep.
And I just feel like... I mean, you gotta know that Batfleck was like, hey... I'm not putting this shit on every single fucking time. Like,
honestly,
you're going to get some scenes of me in my PJs.
Honestly, like, Ben Affleck just does not work as Batman. I'm just like, in none of the scenes am I seeing Batman. I'm just seeing Ben Affleck playing the usual Ben Affleck character every single time.
Yeah, Alexis kept on saying, like, where's your Duncan? Where's your Duncan at? When he would pop up.
Like...
He looks like a schlub, like, but at the same time, he then has the bat suit on, and he, like, had the really bad voice modulation.
The voice modulation is really bad, and the mask is really bad, too. Like, it doesn't fit his face well, and it's just, like, and also the muscles on the suit look, like, so fake. Like, his physique went out of the suit is absolutely nothing like that. So when he has the suit on, it's just, like, this giant buff dude. It just doesn't work for me.
It's so fucked up.
As for the Flash,
sorry.
I think, like, Flash is kind of annoyingly humorous and corny in both versions, but is way more obnoxious in the Whedon version. Here, at least, like, it works a little bit as a kind of a fish out of water situation. That being said, the TV version of the Flash is just, like, so much better that it just, like, makes this version look terrible by comparison. Like, it's just, like, the CW Flash is... obviously, it's a CW show, so it has limitations, right? Like, the seasons are way too long, so they have to kind of fill it with drama. But it's just a really good depiction of the character. Grant Gustin, the actor playing the Flash, is just perfect for Barry Allen in the Flash. And, like, his emotional arc throughout that series is just incredible. It's so well done. And Ezra Miller just, like, cannot compete with that. Like, he's just, like, not that good of an actor as Grant Gustin for playing a character like Barry Allen. Ezra Miller's he works in the Fantastic Beasts movie as the character that he's playing there, but he does not work as the Flash.
I completely forgot that Ezra Miller was in Fantastic Beasts. I honestly blocked that movie out of my mind, I think. Like, I remember seeing the sequel and then being like, what the fuck just happened? Because one of our coworkers had, like, lent it to Alexis on DVD, and we just had it, the ability to watch it. And I was like, I'm not going to remember this movie in 5 minutes, and I don't.
Yeah. But, like, here...
but, oh, wait, I do remember that Mads Mikkelsen is replacing Johnny Depp, so I do think that's good.
Yeah.
Because I do hate that J.K. Rowling is making money as a turf. But Mads Mikkelsen is a really good actor, and I do like him, so I don't know what to think.
But it's a shame that they're replacing it's Johnny Depp because of the Amber Heard situation, when it's very clear that Amber Heard was in the wrong. Thankfully for Aquaman 2, they're also replacing her.
Oh, really? Who are they replacing her with?
I don't remember. I'm not sure if it's known yet, but
that's fine.
She is gone.
Okay, good.
Yes, agreed. Well, let me see if they... I can find who is replacing her. I'm not sure if it's announced yet, but it is known that she is gone.
And that's all that matters, truthfully.
Yep. Anyway, so where was I? Man, this is just like a fucking mess all over the place. The other line that I wrote down. Again, in the same kind of sequence where they're preparing to go for a fight for the final battle. Wonder Woman says, right, we should get dressed. And then Cyborg says, I'm always dressed. As he's changing his clothes. Like, what the fuck is this line? All of these one-liners in this movie are so fucking bad. And I feel like they tried to go for the Hulk, I'm always angry moment, and it just doesn't work. I feel like there's so many lines in this movie where they try to do the Marvel thing. But, like, A, because of Snyder's completely dour tone, and B, like, every line being, like, so... Like, yeah, I'm always there. Or, like, it just doesn't fucking work. Like, none of the dialogue in this movie works. Not a single line I can think of from this entire four-hour fucking movie works.
You can sum up the whole movie in one exchange, which is the Flash getting into Batman's BMW, and he's like, oh, what's your superpower? And he's like, I'm rich. And then he just drives off.
I forgot about that one. Yes. Oh, God.
Even better, he makes mention of being rich like twice in the movie. Like, he says something about being like I'm rich, like, again, at another point. It's so fucking played out.
Yep. And like,
but also very ham-fisted.
Because, like, so the reason Batman works as a Justice League member in, like, normal Justice League material is because, like, he is kind of, like we said, right? He's cold calculating. He's kind of moving things around. And, like, he outwits people. But in this movie, there's no notion of thinking. So, like, he has no purpose whatsoever in this movie. You can entirely cut him out, and, like, the movie would still work. Like, I mean, he brings the team together, but beyond that, he doesn't actually do anything in this movie. And, like...
Well, go ahead.
So, there's this interesting trade-off between the Whedon version and the Snyder version. In the Snyder version, there's a subplot about, you know, Lois Lane kind of learning to let go, and... Just as she's visiting the Superman Memorial for the last time, you know, Superman comes back and she's there, right place, right time, power of love to kind of bring Superman back. And like, that works in some ways, right? There's kind of this emotional arc. I feel like Lois Lane is super underdeveloped in both BVS and this movie, but there's an attempt, right? In the Whedon version, Batman manipulates Lois Lane to be there so that when they wake Superman, she can be there to... bring him down.
What the fuck?
Yeah. I think that actually kind of works in the sense that it kind of, you know, if this movie was just the Justice League plot, none of the origin stories for all the other characters, and if we got that cold calculating Batman through line, I think that would have been a really good line, because it's not like neither BVS nor Man of Steel nor this movie does a good job of developing Lois Lane. So I think just throw that out anyway. You just can't do it, Zach. So instead, focus on, and it ends up being like weird and manipulative in a meta sense anyway. So might as well throw that into Batman's character development.
Yeah, and there's and I think that Snyder did try to do it a little bit. I think he did try to, like, make Batman a bit more of a driving force in a negative way, with him just constantly being like, I'm atoning for the mistake of like dividing us for so long, and like him just constantly going at it. Like, it doesn't feel like he's going at it for the right reasons, but in the end the result is like pretty much the same.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really matter. Like, you don't get the consequences of him pushing so hard and, like, all the people being like, no, you can't undo this. Which, I mean, of course, it's because this is supposed to be multiple movies. But yep. it's very, like, stressful to see the seeds of that possibly even existing. And it just is not fleshed out well at all.
Yep. It's just like, yeah, Batman has, like, just doesn't have really anything to do in this movie, honestly. And the so they eventually get to a point where they decide to resurrect Superman. So in this version, you know, they're talking about Cyborg, his powers, the power of the mother boxes, they remake matter or whatever. And they're like, hey, maybe we can resurrect Superman, which is comes off as like a leap in logic, right? They're like, oh, yeah, we're all thinking this, right? Says Flash. And I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about there, dude. Like, why are we talking about where did this suddenly come up? It's worse than the Whedon version. In the Whedon version, they just gather the boxes and like, okay, we're going to resurrect Superman now. Like, they get the box with the explicit intention to resurrect Superman, which kind of is like at least has a logical through line for why they decide to resurrect him. Like, in that version, Batman's objective is to resurrect Superman. Here, it's more like they kind of, hey, we have the box, let's try it, right? Like, so I think the Whedon version tries to give Batman more character development and, like, make him a more calculated mastermind. Here, it's just kind of like, he's there, I guess.
Yeah, he does not he's not really doing anything besides he gets the team together, and then after that, he's like, okay, I can just chill for a while. Yep.
And so then they have, they go and try to resurrect Superman. At the last minute, Cyborg has a vision of the future that does not exist in the Whedon version. They resurrect him. And then we have a cool kind of battle scene showing how much more powerful Superman is than the rest of the team. And then finally, Lois Lane just coincidentally happens to be there and stops him. Power of love. They fly away. And then we have some scenes with Superman in the ranch and whatever. And he says, you know, they resurrected me for a reason. And then the scene kind of cuts away. In the Whedon version, he doesn't say that. He just kind of shows up to the final battle. Like, basically, in the Whedon version, it's like, they know Superman is coming. Whereas in the Snyder version, they hope Superman is coming. And I think that's more powerful. So they go to the final battle with, like, whatever you see, stick to the plan. That's why I brought you together. And then they go in. And they basically just charge straight to Steppenwolf. Whereas, again, in the Whedon version, there's this whole subplot about evacuating the town, which is basically the same thing from Avengers Age of Ultron. And they have, like, Flash being, like, Flash has this, like, extended scene in the Whedon version where he's like, you know, this is my first time being a hero. I don't know what to do here. And Batman's like, you just have to rise up to the plate. And then they have him basically carry all the hostages out one by one with his super speed. All the people in the town away one by one with super speed. And then, you know, that's just like, it was weird in the Snyder version that he doesn't really do anything in the final battle. He's just like charging up so that they can kind of push this cyborg into the mother box. That doesn't really, isn't really a thing in the Whedon version. And then, you know, it's like they're fighting Steppenwolf, and it feels like, you know, in RPGs where like, you're fighting an enemy that's like 2 levels or 5 levels higher than you. And it's like, you can kind of beat him if you like play all your cards right. But one mistake and then like, you'll just get like destroyed. And it kind of feels like that.
Yeah.
And then Superman shows up and it's like him versus Steppenwolf is like, again, in RPGs, you're like, the enemy's level shows up as like question mark. And there's like a skull next to their icon. And it's like, what, your strongest attack doesn't like move 1 pixel away from their HP bar. And that's how it's like. It's just like, just destroy Steppenwolf. And I think that works a lot better in the Snyder version, because in the Whedon version, he shows up, he freezes Steppenwolf's axe, and then Wonder Woman hits the axe to break it. And then they have this like kind of team up moment to kind of beat Steppenwolf. In the Snyder version, he just like Superman just shows up and just immediately destroys Steppenwolf. And then like they throw him off and cut off his head. Of course, there's this one scene in the Whedon version, in the Snyder version that doesn't exist in the Whedon version, which is Flash trying to, you know, push Cyborg into the box and build up enough speed, but they shoot him, so he like tumbles and then he doesn't get there in time. So he has to actually reverse time and then do it. That doesn't exist in the Whedon version. Like, he has nothing to do there.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, sets up for the Flash movie, which I don't know if it's still happening. It's changed directors like 4 times. And it's supposed to be an adaptation of Flashpoint, which is, again, a really late game story. It's like a super multiverse time travel type of story. So, like, them jumping straight to Flashpoint for his, like, first solo movie is, like, ridiculous in my opinion.
Yeah, that's a pretty hefty order.
Yeah. Anyway, they do that. They send him back. And then there's all the stuff with like Darkseid, which again doesn't exist in the Whedon version. And Darkseid is like, okay, like we'll come back later. And then the movie, you know, they're just wrapping up with all of the characters. And again, those are all different because Cyborg's dad isn't dead in the Whedon movie, so they kind of make peace. And they make Cyborg a slightly more human-looking body. And, you know, there's a bunch of, like, random wrap-up. And, of course, in the Whedon version, Superman is wearing his blue and red suit, not the black and white suit, which is his kind of return from death suit in the comic.
Yeah. And that seemed to be, like, very explicitly what Zack Snyder was wanting to do.
Yep. And, like, Superman is so non-present in the Snyder version. There's a little bit more Superman in the Whedon version. Like, he has a little bit more character. Which, again, is really odd considering that all of those scenes were shot with a stash. And they look terrible. and then, you know, there's just this, you know, loose wrap-up. Like, I feel like the Snyder version just kind of wraps up really fast. We have the scene with Ben Affleck and the Martian Manhunter, which is just, like, not in the Whedon version, obviously. And it's, again, going into, like, Batman's nightmares. And Ben Affleck is clearly, like, that feels like it was shot either during the, like, Snyder Cut reshooting or just some additional time. Because, like, Ben Affleck looks nothing like how he does in the rest of the movie in terms of physique and, like, facial features. And then
it looks very, like, thin.
Yeah. And then we have the awful, awful, awful flash-forward scene, which is funny that Snyder this was actually filmed during COVID, and, like, you can really tell, because it's just, like, really aggressive motion blur to kind of hide that the characters are not together. And, like, not a motion blur, sorry, like, defocused camera. And it's just, like, awful scene with Jared Leto's Joker. And, again, at the end, Superman shows up to kill them and whatever. It's like, fuck Superman, am I right? And it's just like, it's brave that he spent quite a bit of his additional budget setting up for a future movie that we know isn't existing. So my assumption is that the next social media campaign is going to be, you know, continue the Snyderverse, restore the Snyderverse, or something along those lines.
Oh, 100%. Like that, like to give you this like level of, hey, here's a taste of what you could have had. And we know how, I mean, if it was able to get this released, like what could be next?
Yep. So overall, I think this movie is like way too long. I don't have a problem against long movies. And actually, for a movie that is 4 hours long, I think it was like really well paced. Like I never felt bored or like was like, you know, what, like where are we going with this? Like I think moment to moment, the movie is more or less compelling. I think the one moment where I really felt was like, you know, we don't need this, is the Lois Lane, Martha Kent, Martian Manhunter scene.
Yeah.
Like, Lois Lane is already, like, so poorly handled in all of these movies that, like, trying to, like, spending, like, 5 additional minutes to go deeper into her character just doesn't work. And, like, might as well just not have even bothered, is how I feel about that. And overall, I think, you know, the movie is just extremely overwrought. Like, this is very Snyder. And clearly this was not releasable in the theaters. Like, there's no way this movie would have worked. You have to break this down into, like, at least 2, preferably 3 movies. And, like, you had to give Cyborg his own movie to set him up and not do it here. It just doesn't make sense. And overall, I think the movie is fine. I think it's, like, magnitudes better than the Whedon version. I think it's even better than Batman v Superman. It probably, of the like Snyderverse movies, it's probably the best one. Purely at least on the kind of artistic merit alone. But like, it's amazing how much and how little Snyder understands about filmmaking simultaneously. Like, he has a great eye for visual storytelling, but like, characters, writing, plot, like none of that makes any kind of sort of sense. And like, it's like the compared to, if we were to compare the two kind of Whedon version versus, so I wrote this down last night like at like 1 a.m so this doesn't make that much sense, but so
it's okay.
The three bad movies, air quotes, here in discussion, in my opinion, are Suicide Squad, Whedon Justice League, and the Snyder Cut. Suicide Squad is like, you go to a restaurant that you know is bad, Like it's like a low range restaurant in like a bad neighborhood, and it just looks like shit. You order bread, and the bread comes as moldy, and you bite into it, and you get this like delicious, not delicious, but you know, juicy, crunchy, mold, umami taste in your mouth. It's just like moldy as fuck. That's what this Suicide Squad is. Like, it's bad, and it's bad. Like, there's nothing about that movie that works.
Yeah, it's a Will Smith shooting guns to Kanye West's black skinhead in terms of bewilderment. It's intense.
And then you have the Whedon movie, which is you go to a McDonald's and you order like a basic burger and they shit in the burger and then they serve it to you. And that's what you get as the Whedon movie. It's just like just shit inside the burger, just dripping out and just like even holding it just like in the wrapper, it's just oozing shit. Like it's just shit. And it smells really awful. That's what the Whedon version. The Snyder version is Taco Bell releases a new Baja Blast Mountain Dew with Monster with 4 Loko and a shot of Everclear and 4 block entire blocks of Velveeta cheese. And it's all deep fried. And instead of the taco being a tortilla, it's like deep fried grilled cheese bread around it. And it's just like covered in hot sauce and then deep fried again. That's the fucking Snyder cut.
I was going to say, like, the Snyder cut to me is like a deluxe, like, quarter pounder from McDonald's. Like, it's got the lettuce and it's got the tomato on it and it adds the mayo to like try to elevate it, but it's like still the same, like, just cow eyeballs. No, it doesn't fucking, it's but, same shit.
But no, I think that doesn't do justice because like this is just all out, like this is like,
you're right,
pure,
it doesn't do it justice,
unrestrained Snyder. It's just like he's like, you know, if he just like filmed himself sitting in a room masturbating for 4 hours straight, that's like the equivalent of this movie in some sense. Like it's just like so much. I think it
is very self-indulgent.
I think it overall kind of works if you ignore the fact that it's like 4 hours long. I think the movie actually, like, purely visually it works. The characters, yeah, the dialogue is terrible, but I mean, like, out of the DC movies, it's not like you're gonna get any better other than like maybe Aquaman for like a pure superhero flick. And even that movie is like, you know, just like super dumb, but at least it's like dumb in a, you know, self-aware way. But this one is just dumb and like proud of being dumb. This is like aggressively dumb. But like visually, yes, it works. And I think honestly, the 4:3 and the film grain, like, works for me. I know it's just like a trick, but it just works. And looking back at the Whedon version, which was like cut down from 4:3 to 16:9, like it's there's more in the shot here in Any Given Time, and you can tell that the shot composition was originally intended for 4:3. And I think you know, it definitely added to my enjoyment of the movie because it kind of put me in a different mindset, if that makes sense.
It does make sense, yes. Because, like, to me, if I'm just watching, like, something in 16:9 on my TV or whatever, like, it's fine. But, like, the 4:3, it just gives it a different feel. I'm not saying it's, like, the... Because, like, I normally prefer, like, watch things, like, in the highest quality possible because, like, I'm a freak and I don't want to miss something. But at the same time, this didn't bother me.
Like,
at all.
It's clearly a movie that is going for an artistic vision, and sure, yes, it's like a Guy Fieri restaurant, not a, like, you know, expensive French restaurant or whatever, but you know, that kind of works, and that this kind of amplifies the sense of there being an artistic vision. Now, do I recommend anybody, yes, watch this movie? Like, probably not. Like, it's still like a dumb fucking superhero movie that's 4 hours. I didn't regret watching it. But I, like, you know, it's just like you have to be completely aware of what you're getting when you're watching this movie. It's 4 hours long. It's really grim and dour and kind of takes itself way too seriously. It looks gorgeous, except for like some really dodgy CGI in some places. But it's just like
very dodgy.
It's just like really dumb superhero schlock. But it's okay. Like, it's not the worst. It's not. It's like, I would say that if you ignore the length, this is on par in terms of quality of like an average Marvel movie. Like it's
yes,
the writing and whatnot is like low tier Marvel movie, like Thor: Dark World, which I like, but like it's, you know, where the Marvel movies don't really work well. The visuals kind of, and the shot composition and the kind of overall strong sense of aesthetic kind of puts it over. But then it's 4 hours. So it's like, you know, unless you really want to, you don't really have to watch this movie. But then again,
like
I'm not going to say go save some time and watch the Whedon version because A, fuck Whedon, but also B, like that movie is like aggressively terrible. Like again, like a shit sandwich. So like there is just watch it like a recap on YouTube if you really want it or something. It's just like not really. It's not like there.
To me, you could like watch a coolest scenes compilation, like if it ever went up somewhere, and you'd get the same feeling.
Exactly. Like
you're getting all the good stuff in like a much more condensed format. There's a lot here.
It's not like there is any like deep lore hidden somewhere in the movie. I mean, the only things that would be like deep lore would be the like flash forward sequences and you can just watch them on YouTube. And like none of these characters have any real development. I mean, Cyborg kind of does, but like not that much. Like he does get development, but he's like a inherently wooden character. So it's not like that development really does much. I mean, compared to everything else in the movie, he's the emotional core of the movie, but that's like saying, you know, you're eating like a whole loaf of bread and there's like one drop of spicy mayo in the middle. Yeah, that spicy mayo is kind of spicy, but like you're still eating like this whole ass loaf of bread. And it's just like the spicy mayo is not even that good of a spicy mayo. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, okay. So
poorly made. Not made of love. This was made of love, though, just in a different kind of love.
Self-love.
Yes.
I would say I'm, after watching the Whedon Justice League, I was like, you know, fuck these. I'm never watching anything else in the Snyderverse or like the DCU or whatever. Mm-hmm. After this, I'm like, you know, I'll watch another one. I'm curious to see what happens. And like it was okay. Like, but the thing is, even if, you know, Snyder's daughter didn't die and he wasn't like pushed out by the studio or whatever, like I don't see how this would have made a watchable movie in theaters.
Yeah, this is like a... So, I mean, the only thing of this magnitude in this kind of area I have to compare this to is like Infinity War when that first came out.
Yeah.
To me, like, I mean, because they hadn't like tried to do something on like that large of a scale yet. And it was, they had to, you know, split into the two parts, which I think was very smart. And I think they did that in a way that, like, worked for them. But, like, God, it feels like, this is a much, like, sharper, or not sharper as in, like good as in, like, on top of it. But, like, more, less rounded version of what they were doing with Infinity War, which is, like, you have the cliffhanger ending. But you know that something's going to happen with it. You know that, like, that next part is going to, like, be involved in this, like, really big way. This is a bridge to nowhere. So there's, like, there's just, like, no reason for it.
In terms of, like, precedent setting, basically, this kind of legitimizes the kind of toxic social media campaign that just, like, just let it die, but I feel like they're just not going to. And in fact, like, you know, after basically the entirety of Cyborg's character was cut, the actors like raged that, you know, the studio and like, you know, basically burnt all his bridges, and Ben Affleck and Henry Cavill were also like not gonna return. But just this morning, and in fact, like Henry Cavill last week or so apparently was told that, you know, he's not gonna be recast in DC movies. So reportedly he like called Marvel to be like, hey, what's up?
Holy shit.
But just this morning I saw this insider report that said that Ben Affleck, after seeing the Snyder Cut, wanted to come back.
What?
Yep.
Wow. Doubling down on Zack Snyder's vision for schlub Batman.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like if... It will be interesting to see where this goes in terms of, like... Because overall, the reception has been pretty positive, I would say, to the Snyder Cut. I think even people who are like, you know, fuck this, this is 4 hours and super overindulgent and this is like not even that good. I think almost everybody recognizes that it's so, like, the original was so, so horribly bad that this is like an improvement. And that is kind of, I think, coloring people's perception of this movie in that, like, I think if, you know, this was just what we got, or like the theatrical cut of this, however that would work, people would still be like kind of, you know, the reception would be kind of similar to Batman v Superman, I think. You know, just like dumbass writing and like overly grim and dour. But I think now that we have this kind of comparison point in the Whedon thing, it's like, you know what? This is actually pretty good, like in comparison at least. And
oh, yeah.
So I don't know. Like, I didn't hate it. I hated the original. I didn't hate this. I was like, yeah, okay, cool. I mean, it looks nice. And it's, you know, it's interesting to see how this differs from the original, and like we discussed a bunch of those things and like how different directors have different vision for this, and neither of them managed to do a good job in many of the areas, but at least Snyder told a visually compelling story. That's cool. I guess it's a curiosity, and like the kind of pop culture phenomenon around that is just really unprecedented. So that's
ultimately where I would put this, is in like the category of it's a curiosity.
Yep.
Like, as baffling as like some of this stuff is, or like the idea of its existence, I still can't help but feel like, as someone who like tries to create art or whatever, who writes, what does whatever, like, for a studio to come back and actually, like, back him in the way that they have to do this, I know, like, they wouldn't do anything without making money. I don't trust that it's, like, a good intention, but it just, to me, sets, like, a very interesting precedent for, like, I guess, like, standing behind an artist's vision in, like, a very public way. I'm not saying that the toxic social media campaign is good, or, like, it should have led to this. I'm not saying he deserves it. I'm saying, like, this is, like, kind of the hand that we've been dealt to, like, see it and be like, wow, he was actually allowed to finish the thing that he started.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. And I think, you know, without that campaign, we wouldn't have had this, I think. Like, because it's not like other director's cuts where, like, you have a more or less completed movie that was kind of chopped down for theatrical release. No, this was, like, basically remade from scratch, using all the existing footage that was shot, and then more, and then just, you know, basically making a movie. And like, they sent $70 million, and that's definitely interesting. I don't think like there's any other case that would warrant this happening. Like, there's not much else that is in a similar situation. Like, there have been, you know, noted director exits / fallouts in the past. I mean, even the Suicide Squad movie had that, with the original director leaving. But I don't think any of those were in a place where the movie was like basically had enough footage shot to be done, and then they reshot all of it, which was the case here with Whedon. Those are usually more along the lines of like the movie was kind of going nowhere, so they just kind of brought somebody in and like shot more to kind of finish it up.
Yeah, I mean, it just the money dumped into this movie, and like how different it is from the original is a very it's a curiosity for sure, and that's where I would recommend it, if at all. It's still 4 hours of your life that you'll never get back.
Yeah, and it's still like, you know, Superman is kind of pointless in the movie except for the last action sequence with him. Batman is kind of pointless in the movie. Flash is bad. Wonder Woman is bad as always. Aquaman is cool in every single scene he's in, but like, he doesn't get enough time. Cyborg gets development and he's cool, but like, he's not an interesting character, like, really, he really isn't. And
yeah,
the events of the movie are like dumb, but like, going back to what I said in the beginning, if you're gonna watch something dumb anyway, like, this is at least a visually compelling dumb thing to watch rather than another random movie.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know.
Yeah, I definitely don't think that. I
know the movie is 4 hours long, but hey, it's on a streaming service. You can fucking pause it and like come back to it the next day.
Yeah, as long as you can like chop it up, like, and even that's where I think this would have maybe benefited to be like a two-parter,
So
maybe.
originally it was slated to be like a 4 to 6 part miniseries, and you can kind of tell from like the it has like parts and chapters and whatever.
Oh, yeah.
But then they decided to release it as a single thing, which I think if they released it as a miniseries, that maybe, I mean, in some ways it would work better, in some ways not. You know that Tarantino's Hateful Eight, which was also like a really long movie, released on Netflix as a
Yeah.
4 part miniseries. It was kind of chopped up. And with some added footage as well. So that's, you know, that's one option, I guess, but like, eh.
It's just a lot to consume in one go. It is good that it's on a streaming service, so you can pause, use the bathroom. I feel like if you were in the theater, I mean, it's even pushing like, you know, how long I was waiting to pee when I saw Endgame. Like, but I mean, it is a lot better that you can just stop it if you need to.
Yeah, like, yeah, overall, I mean, I think we're overall kind of positive about the thing. I think I just want to kind of coach that positivity, and that is relative positivity. Like, I'm not saying this is like a cinematic masterpiece. I mean, visually, it's pretty cool, but otherwise, eh, yeah. Don't watch it, but if you are going to watch it, absolutely watch this version, not the Whedon version. And if you just really are curious and want to burn some time, it's not terrible. Like, yeah, that's all I can say. I don't know.
No, I completely agree with you. I think it is like if you are interested, if you think this movie interests you at all, watch it. Like if you even have like a slight interest in it, just check it out. If you can stop it whenever. If there's a point where you're like, I'm done with this, you can just turn it off.
Yep. And I think, I mean, I'm interested in James Gunn's upcoming Suicide Squad movie. That seems like he's
Same.
taking it in a cool direction. But I think, and, oh, sorry, Robert Pattinson's Batman as well, which surely he will be a better Batman than Ben Affleck. Like, there's no doubt about that.
Agreed.
But, like,
No doubt.
I don't know what the fuck is happening with the DCU and where it's going. And I don't think they know either. And that's just so interesting seeing how well Marvel has navigated this. Like, they played the long game and they played it well. And now they're doing like TV shows, and the TV shows kind of work too. And it's just like impressive how they've managed to do it, and like how so many others tried but they couldn't. And they made in what are in hindsight obvious fundamental mistakes. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean it's really a crash course in like how to do something and then like how to also, you know, not copy off of your neighbor.
I guess we'll see. I don't know what next DCEU movie is. I think
Is it Suicide
I think
Squad?
it's Suicide Squad. Let's see, Wikipedia consulting it. Yeah, there's Suicide Squad in 2021, Flash in 2022, Aquaman 2 in 2022, Shazam 2 in 2023. There's a Black Adam movie that is in development, but it's unscheduled because of the pandemic. Other films in development: The Amazons, Batgirl, Black Hawk, Blue Beetle, Booster Gold, Deadshot, Gotham City Sirens, Green Lantern Corps, Harley Quinn versus the Joker, Our Man, Untitled Joker Film, Lobo, New Gods, Nightwing, Plastic Man, Static Shock, Supergirl, Untitled Superman Film, The Trench, Wonder Woman 3.
The Trench.
I don't know what the fuck the Trench is. Oh, horror spin-off of Aquaman focusing on the villainous Trench Kingdom. James Wan is producing. Okay, I'm down. He's not directing, but
I wanted to see the Swamp Thing series he produced. I've meant to watch that.
is that a thing?
Yeah, James Wan produced a like 10-episode Swamp Thing series, and it was I think it was like discontinued like episode 3 or 4. I'm trying to th I'm pretty sure that is a
No,
real
it is a
thing. Let me
real thing,
double
yeah.
check.
But I wonder if this was
Okay.
released. It is. Where do I?
Yes, it was released in full, and I had that same thought. I was like, wait, did this come out? And I was like, oh yeah, it had 10 episodes.
On what platform did it come out that it like made no noise whatsoever?
It came out on like the DC streaming
Okay,
platform when they first tried that, I
that's why.
think.
Okay.
And I think, like, they were like, yeah, we're done with this. And then they just released the rest of the episodes, and now, like, the CW has it, and they started running it as, like, a new series, like, at some point late last year.
Oh, man. I wonder if it's on HBO Max now. Let's see.
It might be, but from what I've heard, like, not. People said it was good.
Yeah, I mean,
oh,
James Wan, so it's gotta be.
I'm sure it is. It, like, you could find it somewhere, but, like, I still have been meaning to watch that because I do enjoy James Wan's output. I think he's an interesting director, and also for a mainstream director, he's got touches that I like a lot.
And, you know, he has his roots in horror, so.
Oh, yeah, he saw a baby.
Yeah. Out of these movies, really none of them, other than, I guess, Aquaman horror film, is really appealing to me. Plastic Man, who cares? Blue Beetle, Booster Gold. Like, oh.
As soon as I heard Booster Gold, I was like, what in the fuck is that?
I mean, Harley Quinn versus Joker could be interesting. If they recast Margot, yeah. I mean, if they cast Margot Robbie. But, like, Jared Leto Joker is so bad that, like, it's just like, there's no way that this works.
At all.
Oh, God. Yeah, okay, that's the Snyder cut. So when are we getting the Snyder's cut?
The Snyder's... You know, I've been thinking about this really dumb thing that I've been wanting to post for days, where it's like, you know, I walk in to the adult circumcision doctor, because there's one of those, and I say, you know, I want the circumcision, and I want you to make my dick look like a snack. And he's like, oh, you want the Snyder's cut? And I just keep thinking that in my head over and over again. And I'm not posting it. I got it out here, so that's, I don't have to post it now.
Oh, my God. Okay.
That's all I've been thinking about.
Okay is all I can say.
Thank you. Thank you for indulging that, Noyan. And this.
Yeah, thank you for indulging this. Anything else you want to say about the Snyder Cut?
No, this, I mean, pretty much it's a curiosity. If you feel like you'd want to see it. You can stop at any time. It's not that big a deal. That's it. Enjoy, if you like.
Coming up next from Snyder, he has a Netflix-exclusive Army of the Dead movie coming out pretty soon.
Starring Dave Bautista, right?
Yeah.
Or no, or did he leave it? No, he joined
No,
it,
Dave Bautista is in it, yeah.
Okay.
Also, Hiroyuki Sanada, who's a Japanese guy who plays like a Japanese guy in a lot of stuff. Like, he's like the token Japanese guy who's like usually plays like a older ninja type of character in a lot of stuff. He was actually in a lot of like Japanese stuff. Oh, he's playing Scorpion in the Mortal Kombat movie. I really want to see the Mortal Kombat movie. That looks like it could potentially be good.
I don't think I've even watched the trailer yet. I should watch the trailer.
The trailer is really good. It's like they get it.
Okay, that as long as if that's coming from you, then I do trust that they get it. I'm gonna watch the trailer after we get off
here. But if you are in for some Mortal Kombat action, the animated movie that came out like I think last year or so is actually really good. What was it called?
I think I know what it is, but I don't remember.
Mortal
what it's
Kombat
called.
Legends: Scorpion's Revenge came out last year. It's super good. Mm-hmm. It's animated, but like it just is so good in every way. And it stars like Joel McHale as Johnny Cage.
Holy shit!
Johnny Cage is a pretty central character in it, but like he's actually pretty well done. Overall, it's just like really good. So. Yeah, check that out, and check the trailer out for the Mortal Kombat movie. And
I will.
The Zack Snyder Army of the Dead movie is releasing on Netflix on May 21st. I'm trying to find out how long the movie is. I cannot find it.
Ooh, that's a red flag.
I mean, it's on a streaming service, so I would assume that they just kind of let Snyder do just whatever the fuck he wants at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of the thing, is like, now Snyder has been legitimized as like a director-ass director. And it's like, you know, chill it, dude. Like, he has he's has a really good visual eye, but yeah.
Like nothing behind the eyes.
Yep. That's a good way to put it. Oh, it's a bit over 2 hours long, the Army of the Dead movie. That's okay.
Hey, that's a lot more tolerable.
Yep. Okay, thanks for partaking in our hour and a half breakdown of the Snyder Cut.
Yes, thank you for indulging in the poison with us.
Yeah. All right. I'll see you all next time. Wrap around.